All right, I'm going to ask that you, I'm going to pray once more and just ask that you be, that you pray with me. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the, I thank you for the Word of God, the truth. And Lord, you understand and know the turmoil in my heart as this message has approached. And Father, I have a great struggle in my heart as I continue to push on in ministering what we're about to look at today. Oh God, I pray for courage and I pray for strength. I pray, God, that today people will walk out from this place remembering what God said and not what Pastor said. I pray, God, that you would help me to trust you in what you said in Philippians chapter 2, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We pray that, Lord, you would grant us understanding and clarity, and that you would put these thoughts together that are so jumbled up in my mind. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. As I had suggested a couple weeks ago, in our series, The Truth About the Devil, I had opened up opportunity for you to ask questions that you may have in regards to this topic of the devil. And one of the questions that I received was, it was basically worded this way: can Christians cast out demons? And now that is a very real question that was asked, and I believe maybe many have thought about that in the course of our time of conversation, a time in the Word in regards to this topic of the devil and of his kingdom and of his power. As I spent time on this and looking into this, as you could imagine, this was a very difficult study, and thus it's a difficult morning for me in ministering this. Because the devil is very real, and there is very true opposition to the truth. What I share with you today, and as I prayed, I trust that you will walk away today equipped with scriptures, with the Word of God, that you will be able to discern and understand the answer to this question. As I have spent time on this, I realized that it is important to define this question: can Christians cast out demons? Now, the obvious, I believe, inference when somebody would ask such a question is that a believer, when they come upon somebody who they think is possessed by a demon or devil, can they tell that devil or demon to get out, to tell them they must go? What would be the model for that would be what we see in the New Testament early church days with the apostles, when we know that Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out that I give you power, I give you authority over evil spirits to cast them out. As I spend time in the scriptures and looking at this, it is interesting that this topic of casting out demons is isolated to the Gospels and the book of Acts. You see it surrounded there, surrounding the ministry of the apostles and that of the early church. We see that there are that God gave these men specific authority over evil spirits. So therefore, then, this question will remain. Do Christians today, have Christians today been granted that same authority? Because if the disciples had to be granted or were granted the authority to cast out demons, therefore we need to look to Christ for that authority. So this is what we're going to seek to look at and examine today through varying different scriptures. Now, I will tell you that, again, my prayer is that you walk away saying this is what God's Word says. Not what pastor says, but this is what God's Word says. So I have you, we're beginning in Matthew chapter 12. And please be praying for me because this is a, this did not come together for me as I would have liked. But I need to preach this. And so we're going to push through this. We need to do this. All right, so Matthew chapter 12. We've already looked at this. The Pharisees are accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. Verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But, now look at verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now notice what Jesus says there. If I cast out devils by the what? By the Spirit of God. Now this is the very Jesus. This is Jesus Christ saying this, and he is bringing into this picture the power and authority of the very Spirit of God. Now I know some of you may find that confusing because Jesus is God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is God, and God the Father, they're all God, and that would be the doctrine of the Trinity that we recognize here. But we understand here that Jesus points to the Spirit of God in conjunction with this casting out of devils. Verse 29, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, I want you to go to later in the chapter, in verse 43. We've looked at this already, but this is important for our context, our conversation today. Verse 43, Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Notice the emphasis there on dwelling and entering in. An evil spirit, according to what Jesus is teaching here, can dwell and enter in and dwell within a person, an individual. Well, where are they dwelling? What is their dwelling place? Because demons are immaterial. They are spiritual beings. They are something you cannot see or touch. They are indwelling the immaterial spiritual part of a man or a woman. Now, this brings up a very key and important point. What does the Bible teach about the Spirit of God? What happens when a person believes and trusts Jesus as their Savior? They are indwelt. Same root word. They are indwelt with the Spirit of God, right? So, we've talked about this. So we've talked about if a Christian is indwelt with the Spirit of God, that means the house is not empty anymore. God is dwelling there. And if God, and through His Spirit, is dwelling within the individual, the demons and the devils cannot take residence up in that place. So, we go back to our question, can Christians cast out demons? Well, what are we dealing with? Well, you're dealing with, if we have somebody that is possessed by a devil, they are somebody that does not have the Spirit of God living within them. Right? Would that be the understanding? That would be what I would understand this to be. Go to Matthew chapter 17. As you're turning there, think about who you know that has cast out demons or devils in the Bible. We know that Jesus did. It's recorded in Acts 8 that Philip was a part of that. We know that Peter and the other apostles were a part of that. We know that the apostle Paul also cast out demons. And there are other random places throughout the Gospels where the disciples even encountered other people declaring in the name of Jesus to cast out demons over people. And the disciples, if you remember this, said, "Master, we told them to stop." And Jesus said, "Let them go. If they're not against me, they're for us." So, again, all of those instances are isolated to the book of Acts and the days of the early church and the times of Jesus. When you go into the epistles, which are the writings of the Apostle Paul, the writings of the Apostle John, you do not encounter any sort of injunction or command to a believer for them to cast out a demon of devils. You don't see it there. Now, this would be an argument from silence. If you don't see something there in the epistle, does that mean, therefore, it no longer exists? Well, I believe the evidence points in that direction. Matthew chapter 17. Now, let me clarify. I do believe people are still can be indwelt by demons. But as far as us giving the authority and the power to cast them out, I do not see that in the epistles. I just want to clarify that. All right, so Matthew 17:14. "And then when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him.' And then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me.'" Now, I want you to notice the emphasis in Jesus' answer. To the man who's crying out for his son, he says, and I believe to him and also to all those listening, "O faithless and perverse generation." Now, that might seem harsh to a man struggling with his dear son, longing to see his son delivered. But what Jesus is teaching a very profound thing here. And notice, I believe it's about faith. So, verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart." So that means they pulled him aside privately, and they said, "Why could not we cast him out?" Now, the disciples had already been given a power and authority to cast out demons. And so, therefore, they tried and were not able to cast out this demon. Why? And so we're all sitting on the edge of our seat. What is Jesus going to say? How is Jesus going to answer the disciples' very question here? Well, this is what he says. He says, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. This, I believe, is very, very important key to this topic that we are discussing this morning. Because of your unbelief. What is he saying? I believe what he is inferring is that as these disciples were out ministering and this man came with his son, they tried to cast out this demon, but they were not believing and trusting in Christ, in Christ's power to accomplish this mission. Jesus continues and he says, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Jesus' answer to the inability of the disciples to cast out this demon is because you did not, your belief, because the lack of belief, the lack of your faith. And then he adds this little line at the end. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You see, so often when this discussion comes around, and some people will use exorcism in regard, that's the word, fancy word for casting out demons. An exorcist, I think there was a movie out about this. Exorcist, you know, would be somebody that would cast out a demon. And the whole discussion about all of this, a lot of it is the focus upon what the preacher or whoever it is, what they say and how they act, with what authority are they speaking. I don't see that here, because I see there is an emphasis here on faith, prayer, and fasting. Now, that does not mean that a Christian or a believer cannot speak with authority, but there are matters of a person, of a believer, that must be strong in what? In Christ and in his power. And that is accomplished as one unites with him, and described here by Jesus, is through this prayer and fasting. Very interesting insight, I believe, to this topic and to this discussion. Another place that I believe is important is Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. So I trust you're writing these scriptures down. I trust that you will allow these scriptures to shape what you believe concerning this matter. Again, I remind you, may you walk out of this place remembering what God said, and not what I have to say. Matthew chapter 7, the closing of the Sermon on the Mount. Look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Notice that emphasis. He that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. How do we know what the will of the Father is? Church? Through the scriptures. Through what God told us. What God says. So Jesus continues in verse 22. He says, many will say to me in that day, in that final day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And I tell you, that's a great list, isn't it? Prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, done many wonderful works. Oh, that's a great list. That's a great list of credentials. But what will Jesus say to that individual? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And so we see that this emphasis upon prophesying and upon casting out demons and doing wonderful, miraculous works is not what Jesus is looking for. He is looking for people that will do the will of his Father in heaven. I tell you, what this really does is it brings into perspective, doesn't it? This quote-unquote ministry of casting out devils and demons. It is not something that you put on your credential list to present to God on Judgment Day, because that is not what God is looking for. Again, I believe in another important scripture to keep in mind. Well, again, we go back to the question, can Christians cast out demons? Well, another aspect of that question that has to be understood is, how do we understand or know that we're dealing with a demon or with a devil? How do we understand and know that this individual that is sitting before us is demon-possessed? As I thought about that and contemplated this, I was reminded of the many instances in the Gospels where you see people possessed with demons. And how do they act? They act with an altered mental or physical state. They are lunatics. They're crazy. They are speaking and saying things that are not normal for the course of human conversation. They are able to break chains. They are destructive. They are not helpful to the works of God, but rather contribute to the works of the world, evil. As you think about this, perhaps in your mind and your heart, you may say, well, Pastor, I have never met an individual like that. I've never seen something like that. And I hope I never do. I can't prophesy over anybody as far as whether that's going to happen or not. But the question now remains, what do I do if I, as a believer, come in contact with a situation where there is very clear oppression and possession of this of the devil? There is an evil presence, and it is unmistakable. What are we to do? I want to encourage you to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I want you to notice that as we have, where we have been in the scriptures, there has been nothing per se that has condemned a Christian from casting out demons today. I will tell you that you would be hard pressed to find in the scriptures any place that would point to a church age believer and tell you that you ought to do that. But on the other hand, what we do see in the epistles is the reality of a spiritual battle and a spiritual war that is in existence today. That there is the presence of evil, of demons, and the devil in our world. And with that being the case, we are going to encounter at some differing levels, perhaps, these kinds of things in our life. What are we to do? I believe it is important to practice what Ephesians chapter 6 gives us, in that we are, in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Establish your foundation, believer. Remember, what matters to God is that we are doing the will of the Father. And how do we know what the will of the Father is? And that is what? The Word of God and what God tells us, His Word, His Scriptures. Remember the emphasis that Jesus bore upon this, and that is faith. I want to ask you a question. Are you a man or a woman of faith? I trust you answer yes, I am a man or a woman of faith. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? In other words, upon what is your faith based? You see, faith is just not something that's just thrown out there. You hear this term, blind faith. I don't know that that's really faith at all. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, in that definition that Hebrews chapter 11, 1 gives us, it gives us substance, hope. What do we find those things? Where do we find those things? In the Word of God. We find the substance of our faith in God's Word and in God's Scripture that has been revealed to us. So as you and I live in this world, every day we are to bolster our faith through time in the Word of God. And I'll tell you, we do not know what's going to happen today. We do not know with whom we are going to interact. But I do believe, as Christians, that we ought not to be afraid of any of this. Because what the Word of God tells us, the truth, tells us that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We are on the victory side. And this morning, as I was preparing for this time, this was the struggle and the battle of my heart. Was I going to believe by faith the truth of God's Word and jump into this and preach it? Or was I going to cave to the lies of the devil in saying that you aren't ready for this, you're going to confuse people and make a mess of this? And so therefore, the battle was raging, and it will rage in your life in myriads of different ways. And so, with this concept, this idea of interacting with a demon-possessed individual, where do you start? Establish your foundation. What does the Scripture tell you that is true about you? You, as a Christian, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Is there power needed in a situation? Absolutely. Is there a person, perhaps a loved one and one that you care about, that is in the bondage of Satan and a devil? Yes, there is need. There needs power. Well, where's that power going to come from? You as a believer must know the power is in Christ. And on this note, I want you to realize something. You will often hear people say, just say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Is there power in the name of Jesus? Yes, there is. Is stating the name of Jesus the magic key? There's a difference, isn't there? Seven sons of Sceva. Remember what happened to them? Oh, they saw Paul saying the name of Jesus. So they started doing that. And they were doing that to this man, and the demon started talking back to them. And these seven sons ended up running naked out of the house because they were overpowered. Hey, they spoke the name of Jesus. Listen, church, we would be foolish to walk into a situation and think in our minds that all we have to do is say the name of Jesus and everything's going to be okay. Because what is that neglect? That neglects the inward heart of faith and of the truth. Where's the power come from? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We talked about the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. And on our, I put a worksheet together of the schemes of the devil from our last message. They're back there on the guest book if you are interested in that. It's also on the website with this message, because I wanted you to see that, because I know I was flying through scriptures. But notice here, you establish your foundation in the power of the Lord's might. This is a passage that mentions about the armor and the battle that is going on. And notice the armor, what it is made up of. Verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. The devil is called the liar, a liar. And I have come to understand and discern some of like decisions in life and even in counseling to ask this question. What lies are you believing? What you are believing, and start identifying things as lie, lie, lie. Because the devil in his worldly chatter is going to tell us lies. So when we encounter a demon-possessed individual, establish your foundation, and that is in the power of the Lord's might. Trust in the power of God. This passage, again, convinces me and should convince you of His power. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day. And having done all, what? To stand. Believer, what do we have to be afraid of? In the power of Christ's might, we can stand. Is it going to be a frightful thing? Perhaps yes. And the battle's going to rage in your heart to run, to flee. But the Word of God tells you, stand strong in the power of His might. You can stand, believer. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of what? Faith. Have we heard about that yet? Yes, faith. And notice what it says, wherewith you shall be able to quench what? How many of them? How many? All makes a difference. God put that there. All makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Because if you're not sure which one the shield of faith is going to miss, are you going to walk into battle? No, you aren't. But if you have the confidence, dear ones, that the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, march on, march on. I've already mentioned 1 John 4:4, but I want you to see it, because there's another passage in 1 John that is important. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And then chapter 5 of 1 John, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. All right, so what are we going to do? We're going to establish our foundation on the Word of God, God's truth. And so this is why it's so important, believer, that you are in God's Word, that you're ready for the battle, that you know what is truth, that you know it and you're standing on it. And so that in moments like these, you know who you are and where the power lies and where you rest. You see, faith is based on God's Word and God's truth. In this situation, as you establish your foundation and your trust in the power of God, it is important now that you speak God's Word aloud. That you speak God's Word aloud. It is interesting in the Scriptures, when you see these kinds of casting out demons, there is an audible instruction coming from Jesus or coming from one of the apostles. Now, those instructions, I believe, were given to them under the authority of the Lord Jesus. Now, we as believers have been given great authority and right to be called the children of God. We are Christ's. Have we been specifically given this power and right to command, to speak to a devil and command that spirit to leave? I have not seen that specifically in the Scriptures. But what I do see is the ability of a believer to stand in the power of God's might and upon the truth of God's Word. The sword of the Spirit is interesting in the spirit, in the spiritual armor. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is what? It's the Word of God. The devil and his demons cannot read your mind. So this silence aspect of just reading it is not going to communicate truth into the situation. It's going to minister to your heart, yes. But in a situation when you are dealing with the opposer in the spiritual realm, we have to introduce truth there. And that you do through your voice, Christian. And so through your voice, proclaim God's truth. Where do you turn? The Scriptures. Very good. You see, I could sit here and tell you a list of Scriptures that might be effective. But you know what? There's somebody else that will have just the right Scripture at just the right time to deal with that exact situation, and you have them within you. Know the Word of God, believer, because the Spirit takes the Word of God and He will use it. But remember, the spirits, the devil, cannot read your mind. He's not in you. He's not in you because the Spirit of God is in you. So he cannot read your mind. And he doesn't know what you're thinking. But you begin to proclaim God's truth upon the situation. And here's what I love about this. You proclaim God's truth over the situation. What you're doing is by faith, you are falling upon the power of the Lord Jesus and His Word to act. Will the devil leave? He just might. He just might. Why? How? Because we have the authority of God's Word, of Jesus Christ speaking out. First Corinthians chapter 2. I thank you for your patience. First Corinthians chapter 2. I want you, this is a great passage to understand a little bit more of what's happening in the spiritual realm and within you as a believer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? All right, that makes sense. Your spirit understands what's going on within you. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And so what is fascinating is, as a believer, you have the Spirit of God, so therefore you can understand and know the things of God. Verse 12, but now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Speak God's word aloud. Remember, demons cannot read our minds. And don't be afraid. In fact, take great courage in proclaiming Jesus. Proclaiming his name. Understanding that this is not some magic key that's going to solve the situation. Jesus' name coming off your lips, that is. But realizing that the person of Jesus and his power, he has the ability to revolutionize a person's life. Because realizing this, you're dealing with an unbeliever here. You're dealing with somebody that has been possessed by a devil who knows not God. What do they need? They need the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus to shine upon their hearts, to open their eyes, because the God of this world hath blinded them. But that's what God does. That's God's work. So what do you do? Minister under the power of the Lord Jesus and proclaim loudly his truth, understanding that the power comes from Christ, from God. Well, there is a great deal that you will read and hear about on this topic. I implore you to not make decisions upon the experiences of men, but upon what you see in the Scriptures. And ask God to guide and direct you and to be your confidence. Act in measures of faith, believing on what you know God's word says. That's the true foundation of anyone's faith, of any believer's faith. God's holy word. And believer, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. We are not weak. And I am not preaching a position of weakness. It is a position of the greatest strength found in the Lord Jesus. So be courageous, for your Lord is mighty. God, I thank you for helping us in this time. And even Lord, now as I close this service, I am humbled to consider how you have taught us today. And I give this to you, understanding that what has happened here today, please, you take it and make sense of it, Lord, in the hearts and minds of your people. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.